You've been carrying that weight for a while. The stress, anxiety, the never-ending noise in your head. The usual coping tools aren't working like they used to. They just seem to add more stress. And so you need something different. Something that clears your mind, steadies your focus, and gives you back that sense of control. And there's archery. The moment you draw the bowstring back, everything else fades away. Today's guest, Sam Westfall, is living proof how archery can be a game changer for veterans battling PTSD, stress, and transition struggles. A former Army tank mechanic, Sam found himself in a dark place after service until he picked up a bow. Now he's helping fellow veterans discover the therapeutic power of archery through the Valor Archery Challenge and Archery in Motion. But before we dive into this episode, make sure you're subscribed to the email newsletter at driveonpodcast.com/subscribe. You'll get my 5 favorite episodes sent straight to your inbox. No fluff, just the best insights to help you drive on. I also want to take a moment to raise awareness for something deeply important to our community, the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. This organization is working to build a permanent national memorial in Washington, D.C. to honor the service members, families, and civilians impacted by the Global War on Terrorism. This memorial serves as both a tribute to those who served and a way to ensure that their sacrifices are recognized and remembered for generations to come. If you want to learn more or find out how you can support the mission, visit GWOT, GWOT Memorial Foundation.org. Now, let's get into today's episode. Sam, welcome to the show. Really glad to have you here. I'm looking forward to this conversation. We're talking a little bit before we started recording here, and really interested in what it is that you guys are doing, and I'm looking forward to finding out a little bit more about it.
All right, Scott. Thank you very again. Thank you very much for having me. It's going to be a fun conversation.
Yeah, I think so. So let's just jump right into it. Tell us a little bit more about Archery in Motion and the Valor Archery Challenge, and what, maybe we can take a step back before we get into those. What got you into archery? Kind of what was your path, and how did that end up getting to what you're doing now?
So we're going to go for a quick little long story short, as best I can do it. By age 12, I was into hunting, big game hunting here in Colorado. And I was also shooting competitively with 4-H. So 22 long rifle, 50 feet, and jumping out there. I continued that shooting competitively till I got in the military. So I got in the Army. I was a tank mechanic. The fun part about working on tanks is you work on a whole bunch of heavy steel. You also get to work on everything that the Army has to offer that doesn't fly. Great. I also got to shoot most of those, which made it even more fun. And I'm a decent shot, so most of those pulled me into different gunneries and different events throughout my time in the service. I got crushed by a tank tow bar that medically separated me out. 2001, same period of time, I also went through a divorce. So add a little bit of depression, a little bit of anxiety, stress, PTSD, add it all up. I decided, let's go back to the things I know. Alcohol and firearms. Probably not the best scenario.
Not a great combination.
Kind of going through that path, I was at a firearms competition. A buddy of mine said, I'm looking at you and I realized something. I said, what's that? He goes, when you get done with a competition, your stress, your anxiety, your PTSD, and your situational awareness have skyrocketed for like a week afterwards. And you're kind of unpleasant to be around. Oh, I never noticed that. He said, here, come with me. So we went to the archery range and he put a bow in my hand. He said, I want you to just send an arrow and just try it. I did. And I realized that the instant you draw that bowstring back, everything goes quiet. The noises, the voices, just calm, zen, because all you can focus on is the release, the sight, the pin, and the target. When I let that arrow fly, a little bit of that stress, a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of that PTSD all went out with it. And over time, 14 years now, I've gotten progressively calmer. So that kind of gets us to where we are today. So I bow hunt as my predominant form of enjoyment and fill in the freezer. And then I do shoot competitively. But I took my time in the Army as a tank mechanic, the 22 years I spent in the IT career after I got out of the Army, and then stepping into entrepreneurship, Archery in Motion and Valor Archery Challenge. And that kind of builds up to where we are today.
Yeah, so We were talking before we started recording, and I was saying how I had enough experience with archery to kind of make it seem like I know what I'm talking about with with archery. But yep. You know, when you draw that bow back, it's not like when you're aiming a rifle, and yeah, sure, you have to support the rifle with your arms and everything, but it's a physical motion that you're doing, right? And so you're pulling it back, and there's a weight to that. It's not like a let me just pull it back and it's super easy and it just, you know, it just comes back. It's a heavy weight that you're pulling back, and then you have to kind of hold it there until you're ready to shoot. And that is, to me, that adds a physical component to it, which probably goes to what you're talking about, how when you're shooting archery, your mind just kind of shuts off. All that noise goes off because you're focusing on something different. Yeah, you're going to those muscles now, and you have just a different, like, physical response than maybe you might with shooting a rifle or a pistol.
Let me go one step deeper in that, Scott, right?
Yeah,
so you talked about, you know, when you pull the string back, that's one side of it. But your bow hand, you're actually pushing the bow out and away from you to brace it. And you've locked that shoulder in so that it's supporting that weight that you're pulling back. My draw weight on my compound bow is 65 pounds. So I've got to pull 65 pounds to here, and then the cams roll over, and that drops it down to 12 pounds. So once you get it to here, it's 65, rolls over, gets to 12. Yeah, you can hold 12 pounds back. Still weight.
Yeah.
But you really are forced to let those muscles take control. And kind of to your point, right? You have to focus on controlling those muscles so you're not doing this while you're trying to shoot, because that's not going to go well. So you have to, it really just calms the whole body so that everything settles, everything becomes one, and then you just follow that shot process.
Yeah. And so there's a mental component of it too, where...
Very much so.
Where you're holding it steady. You're not letting the chirps and the noises and the other things that are going around kind of distract you. You're focused, kind of like a professional athlete, like a baseball player on the field. If they're getting heckled by someone out in the in the stands, they're there. They're playing ball, and they're not worried about what the drunk guy in the third row is is yelling.
They're locked
at
in.
You know, they're locked right in. And so there's that component of it too. And I got to imagine the very first time you shot that bow, it didn't instantly dissipate everything, right?
No.
Like you said, it took time, right? It gradually built up, right?
But it was noticeable on the very first shot, enough to where I said, I need another arrow because I got to try that again. Because, like, just to your point, right? The string comes back, and all the voices in your head and all the noises surrounding you, even if you're standing with a bunch of veterans and they're heckling and trash talking, because we all do, none of that matters, because all I can focus on is the release hand, the sight, the pin, and the target. And that's, everything just zooms into a real narrow funnel that's all you can see.
Right. And that's goes into, like, the mindfulness aspect of
the mental health becomes critical in that.
Right, exactly. Where if you're not able to filter out that stuff, you're not going to probably do very well with that shot. But am I off on that?
Yes and no. So
feel free to challenge me on that. I could be totally off.
So what I found, 14 years deep in it, right? So what I found is that if you lose any bit of focus along the way, right? Whether it's you lose focus on the draw cycle, you lose focus on your anchor point, or you lose focus on where you're focused in that shot, making sure that the release, the sight, the pin, and the target aren't all lined up right, yep, that arrow is not going to go anywhere near where you wanted it to go. You have to be physically functional, and you have to be mentally in the game in order to shoot it. The difference with, one of the main differences with firearms and archery is that I can grab a firearm, whether it's pistol or whether it's rifle, and I don't have to be 100% perfect with my form. I can still get that round in where I need it to be. In archery, if I've got a hair out of place in my goatee, that arrow is going to fly funny. And so it really does become, everything has to be lined out and perfect, and your mental aspect has to be in there too. right? It's, I can have a really bad day and be stressed and frustrated. And the instant I grab that bow, the temperature drops. The instant I pull that string back, the temperature drops some more. And when I let that arrow fly, you can just see it, the temperature just tank. It really does become calm and zen. But you're right, it's taken years for me to get to that point.
Yeah, and I think that's maybe the point I was trying to get to, is that this is not an overnight thing. However, you will see some benefits
immediately.
Immediately, right? Like that first shot that you were talking about, you saw it pretty much immediately. You weren't where you are right now necessarily, but you were better than what you were before taking that shot, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you'll start to see some of those benefits, and then with anything, whether it's exercise or diet or school or anything else that you do, the more you do it, the better you're going to start to get. And well, I mean, that's not entirely true, because you could be doing it wrong, and then, you know, so perfect practice.
I've got a couple people that have really bad form, but they could still shoot well.
Right. So, I mean, they figured it out eventually. Right. But
yeah,
but we're talking about, you know, kind of more the mental side of things, and how that's, you know, eventually if you keep doing that, that's going to help you in the long run.
Well, so the other side of that, right? For a lot of the military and veterans, when you go to the gun range today, you're muffed up, similar to what you are right now.
Yeah.
Right? The bulk of those conversations wrap around what gun and what ammunition. And that's really the extent of the conversation that you can have inside of that gun range, with rounds going off. In some of the spaces that I've been, go to an indoor gun range, and I don't know who's standing next to me, and I don't know their background, and I don't know how experienced they are with that firearm. Whereas when you go with a bunch of military folks, you all know that level of training, and so there's a level of trust there. But random people around you, that creates new stress, new anxiety. When you go to the archery range, there's no hearing protection required. There's no bang. There's no stressors. I can see what you're doing with a bow, and I can see where that arrow is. And as long as it's not facing in my direction, I'm not concerned about what happens to it, right? Whereas with a gun, I don't know if there's a round chambered, if you swing around and, you know, muzzle blast me. It's just, it's a whole different scenario. We talked about this a little bit before we got on the recording. The other side of that is when you go to the gun range now, you're shooting in a human silhouette. And for a lot of folks, that puts them right back into that same mindset, stressors, anxieties, depression, PTSD, that forces not necessarily a great scenario for them. Whereas transition over to the archery side, you're slinging an arrow at a foam animal target. There is no neurological connection in what you did in your time in service versus what you're doing now for fun. And that just creates a whole different space in your brain, and with that level of camaraderie when you're shooting.
Yeah, and to your point, I know there's different gun ranges. They're better than others, you know, as far as some of the things that you're talking about, right? Where they may have more staff there who are there for, you know, safety purposes, and they're making sure that their guns are pointed down range and everything like that. But others, not so much. And, you know, one of the things that whenever I'm at certain gun ranges and they have those divider walls in between the shooting lanes, and I can't see what the person is doing on that other side of that thing, I don't know if there's a gun being pointed at me in my direction, because that wall is not bulletproof. And, you know, I can't tell. And so it kind of starts to get me a little panicked. Like, I don't like to be there. But to your point, when you're there and you can see, you know, where those arrows are, where they're pointed and all that kind of stuff, like, you're not too worried about someone shooting an arrow at you, because, I mean, they go that way. And,
well, then, you know, and there's an action that's required, right? I have an arrow in my bow doesn't mean it's going to go off.
Firearms, sure. Yeah.
Right? There's an action. Yep. You have to draw the string back in order to make it shoot, as it were.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Versus, and so, you know, if you got somebody that's with a firearm that's put, you know, 400 rounds down range in the last 20 minutes, that barrel's hot, you might have something cook off.
Sure. Yeah. And you're not going to have an arrow cook off in a bow, right? And you can even point a bow at somebody
without an arrow.
With an arrow or without an arrow, and it's not going to hurt anyone. Like, it's just a, you know, it's just a,
it's a tool
that's sitting there, you know, exactly. So, you know, when it comes to archery, a lot of times people are looking at it as the recreational or for the sport of it, you know, hunting and things like that. But What makes it, I mean, we talked a little bit about this, but I guess what makes it great as a kind of therapy option is what we were just talking about, is that it's a little bit more relaxed. You don't have to be on guard constantly. And that physical and the mental aspects of it that we were just talking about, it kind of allows you to continue that shooting sport, right? Whether you're going hunting, whether you're just, you know,
even if you're just a target shooter,
target shooting, it allows you to do that type of thing. And I know with me, whether it's shooting guns or archery, when you're dialed in and you're hitting those, you know, right where you're aiming, you're hitting that bullseye, it feels good.
Oh yeah.
For me anyways, you know, I don't know about other people, but like, it's like, I did it. You know, I got that shot on target. Right. And,
yep.
And it's not like I was just lucky and I got it, because, you know, when you have like three or four holes in the same, you know, small area, like, okay, that was me that I did that, mm-hmm. you know, that wasn't just luck. Right. And well, so, you know, same thing with archery, right?
Yep. So very much so. So when I coach folks, my goal is to coach them to a point where they put 5 arrows in a 1-inch group at 10 yards. And so when they move out to 20 yards, I'm looking for a 2-inch group. 30 yards, I'm looking for a 3-inch group. So by the time they get to 100 yards, I want a 10-inch group with 5 arrows. That means it is all you. It's not luck. It's not randomness. It is you have dialed the bow to you. You are comfortable with your shot process, and you are getting that arrow out there consistently in the same form. That kind of spins into the archery in motion side. Is I was a competitive shooter. I shot paper. I shot 3D. But what I found is with a stationary target, you've got all the time in the world to make sure that shot is lined up perfectly. I wanted a little bit more challenge. And as a bow hunter, I wanted something that was a little bit more realistic. So take my time in the Army, take my time in IT, in my time in competitions, and let's create something that moves. Now it becomes realistic. Now it becomes a little harder. Now it becomes a lot more fun. And again, when you're out there with a bunch of buddies shooting at something that's moving, you know, whether it's a straight line mover or whether it's the oval track, the trash talk that goes on is just amazing. And it's just pure enjoyment at that point.
So tell me how all of this works. Like, I understand the motion piece of it. Is there, you know, competition to it? Is it more just recreational, just for fun? Like, what
all
is
the above?
The
so
program?
It started off kind of as a novelty. I will say the archery community as a whole across the country has not accepted moving targets yet. There's still a lot of folks that ethically want you to shoot an animal that's stopped and stationary. It doesn't always happen, but I understand their point. I also understand that if you don't practice on that moving target, there is no guarantee that you're going to hit it when it comes to the field. So, like I said, really started off as a novelty shoot. Now it's starting to get a little bit deeper into more of the competition space, where we've included it last year, 13 major archery events, and had it as part of the competition. And it really became something different for a lot of folks, where those guys that are out there shooting competition strictly for points, this was a humbling experience for them because it changed where their point structure was. If you were a bow hunter and you're thinking about, well, I've got all the time in the world to shoot that mule deer target, not when it's moving, you don't, because now it changes the angle of it and it really changes the ballgame for them. How archery in motion works is it's a cart, steel cart. You put the target down on it. It's got threaded rebar, so it's adjustable to any size target. And then I got it set up right now to where it's a wireless control all the way out to 100 yards. So that's a whole different ball game and adds a level of realism to anybody that wants to go out bow hunting.
That is interesting, yeah, because you could have an animal that is moving that, and I understand the point that you were trying to make before of wanting to shoot the animal when it's stationary. For ethical reasons, you don't want to just shoot it and wound it and not get the kill shot in a nice clean kill. So when it's stationary, you're more likely to hit that target in where you need to bring it down right away, as opposed to just wounding it and having it suffer. So I get that, but we're talking about plastic targets or, you know, whatever they're made of, and the foam targets, and they're not living, breathing anything. So this is, you know, in my mind, this is a fun thing. This is a fun shoot, and And it is a skill building thing too, because I got to imagine if you get really good at shooting a moving target, you're going to be pretty good at shooting that stationary target as well.
All day long.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. Very much so.
So the more you do that, the better you're going to be all around, I think. So, but you're right. Adding that realism and having that movement involved going all the way out to that 100 yards. That's a pretty decent shot for, you know, a moving target, being able to hit that at 100 yards. And I remember this was years ago now, but we had a problem with just these gophers in our yard. They were just digging up all these holes all over the place throughout our whole yard. And I was like, I need to get rid of these things, because it was actually dangerous in our yard. Like our son would go out like running around and playing or whatever in the yard, and he'd like trip on the holes.
Right.
It would just be, it just wasn't safe. Right. So I was like, I gotta get rid of these things. And they weren't taking the bait with the poisons and things like that. We were trying to get rid of them. I don't know what it was. They were like smart or something. They just wouldn't do it. And I tried even with a bow to try to take them down. And I couldn't hit it from the, able to hit it. They were, I don't know what it was. They were just smart. My wife ended up running over one of them in the car in the driveway. That's how we ended up getting.
Well, that solves the problem.
It's solved. I mean, problem solved. I didn't really care how it died, but I just wanted it gone. I actually didn't even care that it died. I just didn't want it in my yard anymore. But it wasn't taking the relocation hints that we're leaving behind. But yeah, that's not an easy shot. And so again, going back to that skill building, you know, hitting that moving target at that far distance was got to be something that really takes time and practice, and probably a good deal of trash talking to get you there, right?
Yeah, and that's you know, a couple of buddies of mine, they've been along for the ride with me here. They've been practicing, you know, anywhere from 40 yard moving targets all the way out to probably 85, and it's a humbling experience for most.
Yeah,
at this point for me, it's I can throw it out there at 100 yards, pretty much pick a target, let's sling an arrow at it and see where it lands. Pretty consistent at foam at 100 yards. It might not be a headshot, or it might not be, you know, perfect in the lungs, but it's in the foam, which if you throw in, you know, a smaller target out there, a coyote, something like that, you're only talking, you know, 12 inch tall target. It's a shot.
It's a pretty good shot to be able to hit that. Right. Now, I know from the rifle shooting that we did in the military, we practice on moving targets, and you obviously have to lead the target, shoot where it's going to be, not where it is, kind of thing. I have to imagine it's more exaggerated with archery, because the arrow is not flying as fast as a bullet, right?
Yep. So if you think about a typical 9mm pistol round, 115 grains for the slug that leaves the end of the barrel, doing about 900 feet per second. Yeah, you got to lead a target a little bit. My arrows are 31 inch long, 500 grains almost, but they're only doing about 287 feet per second. So it's a lot slower compared to a bullet. So you're right. So if you put that target out at distance moving, you have to lead it a little bit more. And depending on which model we've got out there, whether it's moving at 2 miles an hour or 3 miles an hour, that's a whole different setup and scenario of what you've got to plan for and how to attack it, as it were.
Yeah. So I'm bringing that up because I'm thinking of military and mm-hmm. yeah, sure. Regular, you know, regular infantrymen, their target shooting that practicing that they do, but you know, snipers and other people like that. Yep. There's a whole science to the shooting.
When you get into trajectory and everything else, right?
Yeah. The weight of the arrow, you know, wind speed could come into the
elevation with changes. Like that. Yep. All of it.
Yeah. All of these things can all come into play. So this becomes more of a mental play than just pulling a trigger at a, you know, 50 yard target or whatever the distance is. Right. It's more than that. Right. Because that's a pretty easy, I mean, I think most people can probably hit a 50 yard target with a rifle.
Should be able to.
We should be able to anyways, you know, 100 yards, you know, as you get out, it gets a little bit more tricky, but even 100 yards is pretty easy. And then as you get out to, you know, much further distances, then you're starting to have to weigh into those types of factors, all sorts of.
But think about back to your time in the military, right? When you were taking shots at, let's call it 200 to 300 to 500 yards, you were either in a belly down at some point, right? Whether you're prone or whether you're in a foxhole shooting so that your rifle is stabilized. There is not that option with a bow. You are still technically holding the bow, holding the string back, fighting the weight, and that focuses that mental game all in just to line everything up right.
Right, right. And so I'm just thinking about the benefits for somebody who, like yourself, like you were saying, you were struggling with the PTSD,
depression,
you turned anxiety, to the alcohol stress. And firearms for the things that you knew. Yeah, all that, right. That stuff, right? All those things are the things that a lot of guys are dealing with when they're coming out of the military, even still in the military. But, you know, we very often look to the types of therapies that are more traditional, that the VA has to offer, the talk therapy and all these different treatments that they have. And while I'm sure they're great for some people, it might not be the thing that everybody needs, which is why I wanted to have you on the show to talk a little bit about the benefits that come from, you know, shooting archery and, you know, the programs that you have to offer. And that type of thing, I think, is something that more veterans need to be aware of, is that there's alternatives. These other things. There's these alternatives, and they're not, you know, things that people typically think of, right?
So just to your point, you know, February of last year, the VA even acknowledged archery as a therapy. They've got a long blog article just about it. And so, you know, somewhat capitalizing on that, but that's the fact that the VA has acknowledged it is huge.
That is huge, yeah. And I know there are plenty of people who have issues with the VA, and they're like, screw the VA, I don't want to deal with them and all that kind of stuff, right?
Okay, you don't have to.
You don't have to. You know, I'm sorry that you maybe had a bad experience with them, and that sucks. But it doesn't mean that that's it. There's no options, right? There are plenty of options. There's, you know, so could you? I mean, obviously yourself. You know, you have done this for, you said, 14 years, and so you can kind of be a success story here. You know, talking about that. Tell us about some of the other people who've come through and use this as a form of therapy, and what have they seen as far as the transformation within themselves, or what have you witnessed?
So I've got a really close buddy of mine that I shoot with regularly. He's a Gulf War Marine vet, got to spend some serious time during Gulf War, impacted him pretty heavily both physically and mentally. He's been in archery probably 20 years, so a little bit longer than I have. But, you know, we've had the conversation as we're out shooting, and he's noticed that A, you meet a different type of personality. You get a deeper level of connection, especially in the veteran community, when you're shooting together on a regular basis. And so you've got more peer support than what you would if you're just trying to deal with your issues alone. And again, I tried to deal with my issues alone. Not a great scenario. So deeper friendships, deeper connection, larger peer network, because when you go to an archery event, you're on a minimum, you're probably talking 50 to 100 people. You know, some of the larger events, you're talking 3,000 people over a weekend, but you can make a lot of new connections and really figure out kind of who you want to connect with, where you want to connect with them, and how deep level you want to connect with them. And that really changes the spectrum. You mentioned it earlier, those that are still in or those that are transitioning, you know, especially if you're trying to figure out how to transition, you're experiencing a bit of loneliness because your unit's already separated you. If you've already, you know, planning for ETS, you're within your last 6 months, your unit's already separated you out. You're already in the process of clearing. You've already predominantly been disconnected from your peer network and whatever friend network that you have. And you're walking into a civilian world that you don't know how to deal with. The best thing that I can recommend is get into archery, because that introduces you to a whole different space of folks that are in a lot of ways already in the same like mindset. And that eases that transition for you.
Yeah, and one of the big things that I've found from hundreds of conversations I've had with other veterans on this show and in other places is that, well, a couple of the big things that people have issues with when they're transitioning is, one is just dealing with civilians, not knowing how to fit into their world and trying to bring the military culture into the civilian world. No, exactly. We weren't issued civilian mindsets. We were issued military mindsets, because that's the only thing that really served the military, was having you essentially brainwashed into the way that they operate. And I'm not saying brainwashed in a negative way. It's like, that's just how it
happens. But it's fact.
And it is. It is. It's a fact. And so when you get out, they really don't do a great job training you to get out. And so... so dealing with those people, okay, fine, that could be an issue. But also the camaraderie that you mentioned is an issue, where now we've lost our peers and our support group. And, you know, and we don't think of it as a support group, but it really is, because it's just those guys that you hung out with and that you were doing things with. You're, you know, doing stuff on the weekends even and just hanging out with those people, right? And so you lose that those friendships, not to say that you can't be friends with those people anymore, but a lot of times they fade away.
They're going to move on. They're going to deploy. They're going to get transferred.
You know. Yeah. Yeah. And when you have a opportunity for a group of other like-minded people, like you're talking about through archery, I think that's just a great way to ease that transition. And so now, not only are you easing yourself into this new community of people who are into archery, that, you know, if you're into it as well, that's great. And then now you have that, but they're also bringing in their civilian mindset too. If they are civilian,
makes for an easier transition.
They're bringing that in.
Yep.
It's just going to make things so much easier, because you're now getting exposed in a little way, little bits and pieces, to how they operate and where their minds are at. And then now you're going to go get a job or go to school or go, you know, whatever it is that you're going to do after the military. And now you kind of have a little better understanding of how they are operating, what their thought processes are, and hopefully that overall just smooths that transition. Now, what if there's someone who's listened to this and they're like, this sounds wonderful, this sounds great, but I've never picked up a bow ever, and I don't know how to shoot. Like, how does this program work with those types of people?
So, self-plug, right? So, Valor Archery Challenge, that's what we're doing, is we're taking folks that... may or may not have ever shot before, may have never picked up a bow before. We've got rental gear, and I've got a handful of volunteer coaches right now, about 12 of them that have stepped up and said, Sam, love what you're doing, want to support the military and veteran community. How can we help? Well, you can be a coach for me. And so $40 for the registration fee, that gets you event registration, a raffle ticket, and for those that served, a challenge coin. 15 bucks if you don't have your own gear, I'm going to hand you rental gear. So that includes a bow, arrows, arm guard, and a quiver. We're going to spin you around from the rental booth, put you with a coach for probably 15 to 25 minutes. They're going to get you comfortable shooting on an entry-level course. So 15 targets, nothing more than 20 yards. Everything's broadside. You really get to build that level of confidence and build that mindset and skill set. And that gets you experiencing it. Then, when you're comfortable on the entry-level course, you're welcome to step over to the intermediate course. And that goes out to 50 yards. Half the targets will be broadside. The other half will be either quartering away or moving, and that's where it really starts to dig in. So that kind of walks us through, if you've never shot before, if you've never touched a bow before, if you don't have your equipment, here's how to do it. Get connected with Valor Archery Challenge. Right now we're only in Colorado. We got 3 events remaining in Colorado for 2025, but I'm looking at already starting to plan for 2026 and how do I build not only more events in Colorado, but across the country. The other side of that, it's kind of that transition aspect of it. If you're active military working on transitioning out, or if you're a veteran and, you know, whether you're a brand new veteran, whether you've been a veteran for 20 years and you're trying to find and connect with new people, this is the event for you, because in that shooting group, it's going to be a mixture of military, veterans, and civilians. At each shooting station, think of it like a golf course where you've got a tee box. At each shooting station, there's going to be either a VSO, Veteran Service Organization, a veteran hunting, fishing, or outdoor organization, or a veteran-owned business that's going to have the opportunity to talk with you. Tell them about what services or products that they offer. And you can figure out how to connect with those groups and what makes sense to work with you. And that just becomes a totally different space, neutral ground that everybody gets to communicate, collaborate, and build a community around it.
I love that last piece of it that you were just talking about, how there are those organizations, those veteran-focused organizations that are coming out to these events that are showing people that hey, there are options for you. There's tons of options. And some of them, maybe you can use the product or service or whatever it is, and some of them maybe not. And, you know, but that, like you said, it's up to each individual. It's not like if you have 10 people there, 10 organizations there, I should say, that you have to go and do stuff with all 10 of them. Like maybe there's just one, or maybe none at all, but at least you're being exposed to some of those options. And I think that's an important piece. And that's honestly what we try to do with this show is, like I was saying before, is like, we want to make sure that people know what those options are, what are out there. And that's why you're here, is to talk about, you know, exactly what it is that you guys do. And I think this could be, you know, you're in Colorado now, and I'm sure there's demand for this across the country. And so this could be one of those things where someone who might be listening to this, you know, they have an interest in archery. They're hearing this like, wow, this would be really great. Well, hey, get in touch with Sam and figure out a way that you can help expand this out across the country.
Absolutely. If you've got access to a range and you want to help bring me somewhere, reach out. Happy to work with you and get it somewhere else.
Exactly. So, you know, but to your point, this is all about those connections that you end up making. I really truly believe that network of people that you end up getting in touch with is going to help you down the line. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but somewhere down the line, those connections are going to be huge. And, you know, and not just in an archery context, it could be in a business context. Yep. It could be in a, you know, other contexts that are out there. You make connections, and it just opens up so many doors versus just having the blinders on and I'm going through this alone. I'm going to do this by myself. Screw the rest of everyone else and what everyone else has to do. Yep. I'm just going to just plow through and do this all on my own. It just doesn't work that way.
And it didn't work like that in the military either. You have to be part of a group.
No, exactly.
And that's...
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of people that say, well, I'm done with the military. I'm not doing it that way anymore. And in the civilian world, you're still predominantly alone, but you don't have to be. You can build a network. You can build a community around yourself that will, if you do it right, they're there to support you, regardless of what's going on or how they can help. They're there to help. And that's once you learn how to build that, the world changes for you.
Exactly. And if you think about it, like people, I was saying before, people coming out of the military, they have that problem with dealing with civilians. Oh, I don't like how they do this, and I don't like how they do that. They're all, you know, whatever. And so what you like is the military mindset, and that's what you like. But then you're trying to be like a civilian by just, oh, I'm going to be by myself. I'm going to do this all on my own, and I don't need the military mindset. Well, okay, then so now you're kind of acting like a civilian, and
you don't know how to do either one.
Kind of part of the problem here,
right?
You're screwing it up here with that mindset. And so, like, get into a group, find people, get a team of people that are like-minded, and, you know, maybe it's not archery for you for whatever reason, you're not into it and whatever, but find your people. And I think that's the point. But I love what you guys are doing, because I really do believe that archery is powerful for a, not just a therapeutic thing, but a bonding. It has so many benefits, and I'm actually like disappointed in myself right now that it's been 494 episodes and I'm just having someone talk about archery now.
Oh, that's too bad.
From the start of this podcast. I'm like, what the, where has this been? Like, why didn't I think of this earlier?
And, you just didn't find me soon enough.
But here you are. And I just didn't find you soon enough. That's right. And so, you know, I think this is certainly an important thing that people need to take a look into. And I think it can definitely benefit lots and lots of people.
I think you have to give it a chance, right? You're not going to be good on day one, and that's okay.
No.
It really is about what you're feeling when you're shooting. And that becomes probably for the first 6 months. Learn your form, learn your process, but really learn how you feel after you let that arrow fly. And like I said, it took me a buddy of mine to point out, dude, your stress, your anxiety, your depression, your PTSD, your situational awareness are amplified for a week after you get done at the gun range. And it never occurred to me. So having that peer network, having that social group that you can interact with that's close enough to tell you and be brutally honest with you is really helpful. And that's, you know, even if it comes across harsh, but it really did help me, because when he put a bow in my hand, it changed my world.
Yeah. No, I can totally see that. And, you know, it's well-meaning too, right? You said, yeah, maybe it comes across harsh, but it was well-meaning. Like he's like, I probably knew you as a person and knew that that wasn't you necessarily. I mean, that was your normal reaction to that situation. Okay, fine. But there's a better version of you somewhere inside of there. And let's try to pull that person out and let's try archery instead. And
well, and even, hey, like I said, if I'm having a bad day, even now, right? If I'm having a rough day as an entrepreneur, because as an entrepreneur, you've got serious roller coaster rides in a course of a day, multiple roller coaster rides. So if I'm having a bad day and my wife just looks at me, she goes, you need to go to the range, go shoot. And I'll go to the range for 2 or 3 hours. I'll go sling some arrows. And by the time I'm done, whether I've gone by myself or with I've gone with a group, I'm calmer and I'm more focused to get back into whatever I was doing to realign myself to make it successful. If I'm shooting with a group, especially with a bunch of veterans, they're trash talking and they're, you know, if I miss a shot, they're right here to tell me I missed the shot. If I nab a bullseye, they're all standing back going, you bastard. You know, it just becomes fun. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're all laughing, we're smiling, we're calm, and it's just a better day.
Right. And that kind of trash talk is, I think the thing that a lot of guys miss from the military is being able to do that, because when you have someone who's maybe a little more uptight and, you know, they're
can't
not
do it in the civilian
into
world,
that, you really can't do it too well, but it all comes from a place of like that mutual understanding of where we're
it's
all
in good
from.
Fun.
And it's all in good fun. Right. And when, you know, you miss a shot and you suck or whatever, they don't actually mean that you suck. It's just, you know, trying to,
they're trying to make you better
a little bit, you know?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, when you have those types of people that can kind of push you forward and, you know, lift you up a little bit when
the veterans,
you succeed, you know, I think that's good, but they'll also put you in their place too. But, you know, I think that's, it's all a big thing.
Those military need to figure out how to transition out. If I put them side by side with a veteran that's already done it, been there, done that, they can have that conversation. The veteran wants to talk with other veterans or with active military to maybe relive some of their past or reconnect with somebody that, you know, understands them at that level. And that makes it a lot easier, a transition perspective, but it makes it a lot more of a fun event rather than, I'm partnering you up with somebody that you've never met before. It's okay. There's already an immediate connection. Whether you're Space Force,
that's right,
you know, Crayon Eater, Squid, it doesn't matter. There's already an instant connection there. Yeah, and I played that card.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good. I think this would be disappointing if you didn't play that card.
Yep.
So, given the conversation, but you're right. You know, whenever I have another veteran on the show, again, it doesn't matter the branch of service, anywhere. You know, I'll even go so far and include the Coast Guard if I have to, right? We're the conversation already went that
Yeah,
way,
it's already so there.
I have to play into it. It's already there. But in all seriousness, when I have other veterans on the show, my mindset is like we sort of just already have that common understanding, and we can pick up a conversation with each other rather quickly. And by the end of the conversation, by, you know, 30, 40 some odd minutes into the conversation, it's like, I feel like I've known this person for quite some time, just the 30 or 40 minutes that we spent talking. And so I really suggest to people, give it a try, you know, go check it out, give it a try, get involved with those other veterans that bring in that sense of camaraderie, you know. And I know you said that you're just in Colorado at the moment. What are your plans for expansion? Do you have plans going nationwide,
or
are you going to take it?
Yep. So in the last 5 or 6 weeks, I've had a handful of conversation with folks that are out, you know, podcast guests that have said, you know, Sam, I'd love to see you in Montana, South Dakota, North Carolina, or Georgia. And so already starting to build those conversations about, okay, how do I do this? Where's, you help me find a space that I can utilize to bring this to life, and I will figure out how to coordinate some of that. But I do need someone to help, you know, hey, I've got property, or I've got somebody that owns property, or hey, I know the base commander in this base. Let's figure out how to make that conversation and that connection so that I can bring it to life further.
Excellent. Excellent. So yeah, and I think this is a great thing that you're doing right now. And I think it's going to be even greater once when you have that nationwide reach where you can, you can get in front of many, many people and help them through the sport of archery. And I think that that's going to be a wonderful thing when you get to that point. So definitely if you are listening and you are anything like what Sam just described, yeah, definitely reach out, because you know, this is something that I think will benefit tons of people down the line. So, you know, for anyone else who is interested in, well, you know, whether it's someone like we were just talking about, or someone who wants to get involved to shoot, or maybe you need, I don't know if you need volunteers, those types of things, what is it that you're looking for, and where can people go to find out more information?
It's one of the ways, but that'll get you directly to me. So just throw in there what, you know, if you want to volunteer, if you want to be a coach, if you want to have a booth, I think I've got most of the booths, but you know, there might be somebody that I'm not aware of or not familiar with, but reach out, let's get you set up. Let's get, you know, figure out what it's going to look like, and let's figure out where we go next.
Wonderful. Okay. So I will put the link in the show notes for the listeners to check out, but Sam, it has been a pleasure speaking with you. Pleasure.
I told you it'd be a fun conversation.
I know. Yeah, it definitely was. And definitely talking about archery and, you know, just the therapeutic benefits and the different things that come along with it that I think oftentimes are somewhat unexpected. I'm sure it was unexpected for you when you first started shooting it. And, you know, for the listeners, I mean, give it a shot. No pun intended, but give it a shot, right?
But that's where it is, right? Is step out of your comfort zone, go try something different. And it, like you said, whether it's archery, whether it's golf, whether it's underwater basket weaving, I don't care, but you have to find something that you can partner with, peer with, network with, and that helps you. I've done the gun range thing. I've done the gun firearm competition thing. I will say it creates its own struggles. I've tried the golf thing. It's not really my world. I was raised in a space
golf can be really frustrating.
Well, you know, if you smack a ball as hard as you can and you chase it, that's called fetch. That's why I have a dog. So, you know, that's, for me, archery just becomes a different space.
Right. Now I have to ask this. Do you ever have to go retrieve your own arrows?
Yeah. Yeah. So
you're, you know, fetching your arrows too. No, I'm just messing with you.
So there are times where I miss a target, especially when we've got a moving target out there at distance. Right. There are times where I miss and my arrow goes another, you know, 40, 50, 60 yards behind it. Last year, my buddy and I were set up at a range where we were taking 140 yard shots.
Oh, wow.
That's a poke. And so, you know,
that is quite a distance.
Yeah. I had two out of the three arrows hit foam. One went just over the top of it, and we found my arrow another 70 yards behind the target. So I do occasionally have to go chase my own stuff. I'm the dog. I have to go play fetch. But, you know, it's few and far between anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally get that. Yeah, and it's not every single shot that you have to do, like in golf. And, you know, not to knock golf. Golf, you know, we had someone on the show a few weeks ago who was talking about, you know, benefits of golf. And again, camaraderie, you get people who are like-minded and you have people who want to go out and play golf, and hey, great. That's your thing. Go for
whatever you find that works for you. I'm on board with.
Yeah. And I think to your point, you said before, push yourself out of that comfort zone. If you've never tried archery before, you're like, oh, well, I can't do this because I've never done it before.
Yes, you can.
Well, nobody's ever done it before until they have. And so get out there and give it a shot and do something.
With our rental gear, So got kids' bows all the way down to 12 pounds worth of draw weight. So they're about size or muscle. It really is about form and technique.
Yeah.
So I can put an adult bow in your hands and I can have you shooting arrows and hitting targets within an hour, then even if you've never touched a bow before. It doesn't matter about size. It has nothing to do with gender. It's about right technique and right form, and I can have you slinging arrows.
Yep. Awesome. Awesome. Well, again, like I said, we'll have those links in the show notes and we'll get people in touch. Sam, thank you so much for taking the time to come on, and thank you for all the work that you're doing helping folks out. So I really do appreciate you.
Scott, it's been awesome. Thank you very much.